So this episode of The Leader Smith is a little different. I'm going to be talking about China's one child per family policy and what it did to the country, and more important, what are the implications or what can we learn about leadership? Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I know this is a very strange sounding topic for the Leadersmith podcast, but I just watched a fascinating documentary. It was called One Child Nation, and it talked about the one child policy in China from 1979 to 2015 when it ended. It's fascinating on a number of levels. It's fascinating because of how it worked, how it was enforced, what it did to the people, the human cost. And then there are certain lessons of leadership that we can take away from it. And I want to talk about all those things. So let's start here. In 1979, China launches this one child per family policy. What happened was they realized that if they had three children, China would predict starvation. And the reason for that is because these children were burdens rather than being educated to the point where their human capital is being used properly and they're actually a net benefit. So they launch this policy. By 1982, they're really strictly enforcing it. This one-child policy is written into the Chinese constitution. But it's ended in 2015 and then it changes. And so I'm going to talk about all of what happened here and why. Okay, so to enforce the one child per family policy, the government would issue fines, they would provide certain economic incentives. There was propaganda all over the place, propaganda like on walls, like written on houses, posters, playing cards, textbooks, TV, theater, you name it, it was everywhere. It was just, it was so in the culture, it was as pervasive as Coca-Cola is in our culture today in the United States. The government would even hand out these plaques, and I took a picture of this on the video because I was just like, wow, that's something. Plaques that were handed out for the government or by the government to the and put on your house, and you'd get a star for everything that you were doing right about the Communist Party values, including if you had only one child per family. And if you had more than one, if you had two children, which was possible under certain parameters, you felt embarrassed, like you're not a good citizen, like you're not patriotic. The government would even go so far as to demolish homes if people refused to be sterilized after having the first child. And there were provisions where after 5 years you might be able to have another child with an exorbitant fine, but essentially it was one child. And if you were going to have a second child and you had a second and the second was a baby girl, the incentive was very strong and very often happened where they would just put the child out to die, like infanticide, like no joke, infanticide, like just put them out, let them die, and then we can try again for a boy. So this was, wow. Okay. So at any rate, so the film follows Nanfu Wang, who's the narrator, who was, had a little brother, a little older than 5 years younger than, or a little more than 5 years younger than her. And she moved to the U.S. and then just coming back to China was just thinking like, wow, how damaging was this policy? And she interviews people like the village elder. So the village elder was the one enforcing this policy. And he was saying, look, everybody wants a son because, they want to carry on their lineage. So the village elder would say things like, we would persuade them using propaganda. And the propaganda would say things like this, quote, fewer children make for a happier life. Or, quote, our lives are so great now thanks to our party's foresight. I mean, that was part of propaganda songs in theater or on TV and that kind of thing. A children's song said this, quote, if you have a second child, you violate the law. Then you will be detained. If you try to escape, you will end up in jail. Think twice about it. Don't say I didn't warn you. That was a children's song. I mean, what kind of place do you live in where that's what is in a children's song? Okay. Now, if a woman refused to be sterilized, all the county officials would force her to be sterilized. Like, literally, physically force her to be sterilized, or they would force an abortion. The local midwives, now this was really sad, the local midwife was being interviewed. She's now in her 80s in this particular village where the interviewer was from. She performed somewhere between, according to her calculation, 50,000 to 60,000 abortions. And so, again, this is just a local village. She said, well, you know, I was forced to. It was policy. And she is now retired. She's been retired for some 20-some odd years. But she says now all she does is help with infertility treatments. And she says it's a kind of penance. She said this, quote, I want to atone for my sins. There will be retribution for me. She said that she did so many bad things in her past, and she knows something bad is going to happen to her as a consequence. She's not a Christian. She's not thinking about heaven and hell. It's more like a ancestor kind of Buddhistish kind of culture. And she said, yes, the state ordered it, but she carried it out. She said that she was the executioner. She said, quote, I killed those babies, didn't I? And so she understands how wrong this was. But again, that was a policy. So in each village, the government would punish or reward local family planning officials for how many babies were born in their territories. They would give them certificates or medals or some kind of honors for having done what they were supposed to be doing. And this was used for propaganda videos for how many births were being prevented. One award winner being interviewed said that she would do it all again because she believed that she was saving the country. Now, that reminded me when I was studying the Third Reich in my public policy program. I have two master's degrees. One's an MBA. The second is a master's in public policy. And I was studying the Third Reich, and the doctors that were doing these crazy experiments on the Jews and exterminating the Jews, they weren't thinking about the individual that was being violated. They thought that they were saving the life of the German public body, I mean the corporate German body, by killing off these individuals. And that's what it reminded me of. So she said that she believed that she was saving the country. She was okay with forced abortions. And she said this, quote, I have to put the national interest above my feelings. And then a little bit later, she said, quote, we were fighting a population war. Now, that population war line was some of the propaganda. It was a government slogan of the time. So they shifted gears and they started to interview an artist. This guy, his name was Pen Wang or something along those lines. He's an artist who painted fetuses on every page of the Thoughts of Chairman Mao. Now, the Thoughts of Chairman Mao is almost sacred. It's like almost like their political Bible. I've read parts of it, and it's kind of bizarre, but this is something like you were supposed to memorize if you were going to be a good party member in China. And so this was quite a protest statement. And he asked this, like, how can you take a life? What causes you to take that life? And he said it's the long-term indoctrination. The slogans were things like the collective interest above all else. And so this indoctrination, he said, destroys a person's humanity, their individually, and their conscience. And so he got started doing this when he found a discarded fetus in the trash heap. And then he found more and more and more. Like, finding one's bad, but if you just start to find them all over, something's going wrong here. Okay. And so he said, I wanted people to think, how can we do this and why? The most tragic thing is for a nation to have no memory, he said. When the one child policy is over and the people can have all the children that they want, the memory of the one child policy will be lost. And so that's what got him motivated as an artist to be doing this art, to try to, you know, let the world know, like, this is what has happened. Okay, so they shift gears again, and, you know, the narrator, Nanfu, is talking to her mother. Her mother thought, no, you know, okay, this was policy. This is just what we had to do. So I guess it was okay. I mean, they would demolish homes if necessary to enforce the policy. And, like, her mother, like, couldn't even fathom, like, this is wrong. There were old men talking, and they were talking about how, hey, we all want grandsons so that our family name doesn't get extinguished. And so sons are favored. So there's this discrimination pro towards sons. And so baby girls are abandoned and very often die. I mean, real infanticide. Many of her family members, and she didn't know this when she was growing up, she just thought everything was great, but many other family members had committed some kind of infanticide, abandoning children, and then they felt terrible, as you should feel terrible after doing something like that. And they were suicidal, and this began a group of human traffickers who were selling babies to orphanages. Now, some of them were doing this and just trying to save these children, but eventually they were being paid for this, and they're called matchmakers. So she interviewed Yuneg Blon, please forgive me if I mispronounced that, who is an ex-trafficker, and he went to jail for trafficking babies. Now, it's ironic that he went to jail for trafficking babies, because this is essentially what the government would start doing later on. But he would find these abandoned babies, he would take them to the orphanage, and then he was surprised that they gave him money for that, so he just kept doing it. Eventually, he goes to jail for, I think, 6 years, and other members of his family, up to 10 years, are being sent to jail for bringing abandoned babies to orphanages, and then they're being paid for it. So I guess they don't want, the state doesn't want competition, because the state started doing the exact same thing. So he said he would see 4 to 5 abandoned babies a day, and he would just take them to the orphanages. And he claims to have brought up to 10,000 babies to these orphanages, and the orphanages would pay him up to $200 for these babies. And then this leads to the spike in international adoptions. So he said he would see 4 to 5 babies abandoned on the road in a day. And in 1992, China began allowing foreigners to adopt. Now, Duan, he thought that these orphanages were charities, and he thought he was, helping, doing the right thing. His whole family was involved. They were sentenced for their crimes to 6 to 10 years for what they began to do. And then the orphanage would then, for adoption, there would be a fee of $10,000 to $25,000 to adopt a child from China. And 130 some odd thousand babies were adopted from overseas parents trying to do the right thing, trying to take care of these abandoned babies. But they weren't always abandoned. And that is part of the problem. The policy is driving the abandonedness, yes, but the policy is also driving a government incentive. So the orphanages are making money. Police are essentially on the take. The documentation from the orphanages was very often made up, saying something was legit when it wasn't. Eventually, the government officials would confiscate babies based on the one-child policy from parents. Like, they're not orphans. They're just confiscated babies, then brought to the orphanages, and then they're adopted by foreign families, and the government officials are getting the kickbacks, and it's just a big mess. There were slogans, propaganda slogans, written on the walls of dwellings that would say things like, whoever violates the one-child policy will lose all their possessions. That's a quote. Another one, don't get pregnant or give birth without a permit. I mean, how horrifying is that? Or, quote, report anyone who has more than one child. Get up to $120 in U.S., $120 reward. Okay, other slogans would be things like, anyone who refuses to sterilize will be arrested on site. If a person refuses sterilization, her entire family will suffer. I mean, how bizarre is that? Better to shed a river of blood than to birth more than one child. So, I mean, this is just amazing how, this policy from on high is causing these kind of slogans and this kind of horrific destruction within the country. So the state took away children from families, and then they would be adopted by these well-intended foreigners, not knowing that they're separating twins. They were separating twins. They gave an example of, or taking children from legitimate families for the sake of this one child per family policy. Now, this is an ancient history. This was 10 years ago. Okay. So this has been happening within our recent memory. So Nanfu Wang worked with a nonprofit that actually connected an adopted twin with her sister. It was very touching. Again, you got to see this just to believe it. So the one-child policy lasted for 35 years. Now there is not enough children to take care of the elderly because there are unintended consequences to what we do, right? And so now China realizes, we got a whole different problem. So now they have new propaganda signs. They didn't learn. They're just enforcing a new propaganda sign. This says what? One child is too few. Two is just right. The young will have siblings. The old will be cared for. So It's like they didn't learn their lesson about being heavy-handed. So here, this is why I'm telling you all this. I want you to understand a few things. One, I want you to understand what's going on in China, because you should be well-educated if you're going to be a leader in any sort, of any sort, anywhere. Okay? So just to understand what's going on there. And I would encourage you, don't just take my word for what's going on. Go watch the video. Go watch the documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called One Child Nation. Now, policies matter. What you propose, there's a great book by Richard Weaver, Ideas Have Consequences. That's true. Policies matter. Now, some policies are better than others, and some are worse than others. And we have to understand that not all ideas are created equal. There are human consequences for ideas that sometimes look good on paper. Now, in business, that means, wow, we could save a fortune when we close this plant or when we, you know, shut down this department or when we, remember, there are people involved on the back end of that. Human consequences. Sometimes there are unintended consequences for our activities, as China is finding out right now. But there's a terrible cost even for getting the outcomes that you think that you're trying to get to. Even if you're thinking you're trying to get to the right, there's sometimes consequences. There are terrible consequences for that. Now, this is why you need to listen. Listen to those affected. Hear what they have to say. So, don't just use force to overrule or overrun them and make them do your will. Hear what has to, what they're saying or the feedback that you're getting, because they will steer you from stupid errors that they couldn't, like in China, you couldn't, like, hey, Mr. General Secretary, would you please allow this? Or please, I mean, we don't want to have just one child. It wouldn't work. You're not a dictator. Don't act like a dictator. Hear what your people have to say. Okay, so policies matter. Some ideas are worse than others. Some ideas are better. There are unintended consequences. And listen to your people. Okay, so here, this leads us to the quotation for contemplation for this episode, and that is this. This is from the economist, Walter Williams, who said this, quote, I learned that you have to evaluate the effects of public policy as opposed to the intentions, unquote. That's a good idea. If you just think about what you intended to have happen, that's not going to be anywhere near as significant to the lives of the people that are actually being affected as if you evaluate the effects. Okay, that's all that I have for today. Thank you for your time, and thank you for listening to the Leadersmith Podcast. I hope this helps you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.